Amen. Amen.
Okay. This morning, as you know, I always like to call it our discussion that we have on Sunday mornings. This morning, we're going to discuss a touchy subject. I say it's touchy because, number one, I'm very guilty of it. And as the Bible says, you're supposed to confess your sins one to another. I'm standing in front of you not as someone that's trying to be elevated or above anybody else. I'm just like everybody else. And I've got faults, and not like Russ, he don't have none, but I got faults. And if I know him, I'm the first to admit, you know, when you're wrong. And this is something that I struggle with, and I'm sure the rest of us do. But I feel like it may be something that we need to discuss to try to help motivate each other to do better in serving the Lord. So what I'm going to start out with is in Revelations, beginning in chapter 1 and going through chapter 3, John writes about the testimony of Jesus Christ to the seven churches. And he sort of gives them a report card of their performance. Now, out of those seven churches, one of them he commends or compliments for what they've been doing. And one of them he instructs to remain faithful to the last day. And the other five, he warns them that they need to make a change. It's something that they need to do to change from the way that they are doing. Now, if we were to get a report card here at Edge Hill, I would like to think that our grade would put us up somewhere with those two that he complimented. I know we got some good traits. We got some traits that we need to work on. I feel like we are a loving church, a friendly church. Anybody that comes in, stranger, that's never been here before, would feel welcome. I don't think that they would come in and say if they came for a service, that they would come in, go throughout the whole service, and leave, and nobody would even speak to them. I've been to churches like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't remember your name. Is Anita?
Tina.
Oh, Tina.
Tina. Okay, close. I don't want to put you on the spot, but you being the latest visitor that we had before now, you would have a good insight as to if you was rating us as to how friendly we were. We've been told by other people that have been here that, oh, this is, y'all got a nice church. You know, yes, we will come back, and some have came back. But by the same token, as I said, I know we got some faults that we need to work on. Because we're human, for one thing, and we're not perfect. One of the faults is, as I started out in saying, that I feel like we need to try to work on is visiting our sick. And as Paul said about the sinners, he was the chief. I guess I'm the chief in this aspect because I'm in the forefront, so to speak. And as an elder, it is my duty to go and visit the sick. But as Christians, we all have that responsibility. Now, we go through stuff every day, hassles of everyday living. And I can attest to the fact I've gotten to the age now where I have good intentions, but my mind don't work the way I would like for it to. I intend to do things. I can intend to go into that kitchen back there to get something and get in there and forget what I went in there to get, you know. I have intentions on visiting the sick, calling the sick, checking on people. One thing I can attest to, I don't forget to pray, and I do pray. Maybe I'm not guilty of naming everybody by name, as in, Lord, that's like calling off a roster when I pray, but I include everybody that I can think of at that time, and I still sometimes forget people. But it's no harm in praying another prayer and say, oh, yeah, Lord, I meant to ask for prayer for comfort for this person, or remember this one. I can do that, and I do that. But as far as going down and then, yeah, and bless this one and bless that one and bless, and no, I don't do it like that. That's just my technique. But because Satan's always at us 24/7 and causing stumbling blocks to be in our way, we're going to forget things, be distracted by things. And it's nothing wrong with that. But to come back to, because at some point or another, it's going to flash across your mind again. Oh, yeah, I meant to do so-and-so and so. If you have to write it down, if you had to tie a string around your finger, if you had to tie a string around your wrist or a rubber band, or put it on your TV or your refrigerator to help you remember. It's some techniques that we can do to try to keep us on track of the things that we need to do. And I, for one, as I say, remember, as I am speaking, I'm not criticizing or blasting anybody for saying that you need to do this. It's not you I'm talking about. It's me. I'm discussing it with you all. Mm-hmm. So whatever I say, know that I'm talking about me first, because I have to work on this. What I'm talking about is visiting the sick. You just came in. This is one of the things that I think that we need, area that we need to work on. As I said, it's in James chapter 5, verses 13 to 16 says that the sick should call for the elders to pray over them. However, instruction is given to confess trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And as I'm confessing today, I'm asking for prayers that I may do better. And in turn, I'm also going to be praying that we all do better. But one of the sad things that I've heard is for one of our members to say, nobody came to see me because they were sick. And in some instances, you may can't get out to go visit. But you can pick up a phone and call maybe. Or if you can't do that, maybe you can send them a card to let them know that you're thinking about it. Mm-hmm. There's some things that we can do. There's just getting out to visit. I'm placing emphasis on going to visit. But it's other things that we know that we can do. And as I said, we're not just limited to just the elders. And some people think it's the elders and the deacons. That's their responsibility to do that. It's everybody's responsibility as a Christian to do that. We have some churches. I can't say for sure that there's some churches in the Brotherhood, but we do have some churches that they form a committee or a group to go around and visit the sick. They feel like if they do that, then, come on, they feel like if they do that, then the obligation has been met. Yes.
I was just going to say, when Mike and me were in Hopewell, we had every Sunday or every month, we had a group of us that would get together, and we would take the Lord's Supper to them, mm-hmm. and we would sing praise songs with them, and just spend about a half an hour to sometimes 45 minutes with them. And the good thing about this was that we would rotate. Mm-hmm. You know, every month it was a different group that would do that. Okay. And it really, you could really see how much it uplifted the sick. Mm-hmm. And it, they kind of felt like they were still included in, like, the worship service, included in partaking of the Lord's Supper. And they really need this uplifting thing. And but the thing is, you get in this good habit, mm-hmm. and then after a while, one group no longer wants to do it, and then another group don't want to do it, and pretty soon it's the same people doing it all the time.
Right.
And I think that's a problem that's church-wide. I don't care what church you're going to, you're going to find this to happen, that you have your core people mm-hmm. that will always do these things.
Mm-hmm. I was going to come up with that, a little bit of what you were saying about the groups that do that. It's sort of like first of the year when everybody is hyped up and they're going to get on the bandwagon of exercising and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to do this exercise, I'm going to get my body in shape, I'm going to do this. And they do it for a little while, and then as the year goes on, they kind of, well, I don't feel like today, you know, and I'm going to miss it. And sooner or later, it's like you just forget about going all together. You know, and as you also said, a group can get burnt out by mm-hmm. doing that. And some people feel like, well, hey, I don't want to go every Sunday, you know, which it's not, you're not obligated to go every Sunday, but if nobody else does it, it's sort of like if you're doing a job and you do something that you see needs to be done, nobody else is doing it, could be going in the break room and wiping off the counter yeah. because it's kind of messy. And nobody else does it, but everybody see you do it, and after a while, that becomes your job. You know, nobody's going to do it. Oh, she's going to get it. Oh, he's going to get it. He always does that, you know. So.
You know, Wesley, we forget that we're all supposed to be doing jobs. We're all supposed to be working members of the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. But there's too many of us that just come on Sundays and sit and really don't, yeah, they participate maybe in the worship service. But when it comes to sharing the workload, mm-hmm. A lot of them just totally depend on them core people. And I feel bad for those people.
Yeah.
And we have to remember, we all supposed to be working members.
That's true. Because one of the excuses that people use sometimes is, well, I can't do that like they do. So I'm not
going to do it the way you know to do it.
Right. Or try to do it so that you can do it your way.
Yeah.
But if you don't never give it a shot, then you never will get there. Yeah.
When you were saying at the beginning there that you are diligent in prayer, and I believe that. I think prayer is very important. Mm-hmm. And I think when we start our day with a prayer, we need to ask the Holy Spirit to make time in our lives, mm-hmm. touch our hearts, mm-hmm. to get out and do those things so we don't forget.
Right.
I mean, I forget things. I 5 minutes from now, I'll forget what I just said. But but ask the Holy Spirit to guide us to do for others, be the servant that God wants us to be, mm-hmm. and that He will bless us. And a lot of times, mm-hmm. I was sitting in the doctor's office with Chuck Friday, and I was doing my prayer journal in there while I was waiting, and the Spirit was just telling me, talk to the ladies next to mm-hmm. you. Come mm-hmm. on, you mm-hmm. bump on a log. Mm-hmm. And so I mm-hmm. put the book away, mm-hmm. and I just started a conversation right. with them and explained how wonderful God is, and the weather's been nice. You know, and before you know it, their mm-hmm. nervousness of being in the doctor's office went away. You could tell they were laughing and joking and having a good time, mm-hmm. and that's good. In visiting others, a lot of times the COVID will tell them, oh, I don't want you to come over here, mm-hmm. I don't want you to give me a germ, mm-hmm. or I don't want you to get a germ, or whatever. But we can't let that stop us. Like you said, those cards and calls mean
yes.
so much.
Yes.
Ray was always good about calling me yes. and just mm-hmm. encouraging me. Bless mm-hmm. his heart, mm-hmm. I have nothing to complain yeah. about when I talk to Mr. Ray. Yeah. So So I just want you to, I want you to feel like I feel so much better when we ask God to open our hearts for the Spirit's guidance and energy and space in our daily life. That really, we none of that is important, as important as doing God's work.
Right.
And He'll bless us.
Okay, Sean.
That's what I was getting ready to say to Kathy. What we are doing, we're not doing for us.
Right.
What we're doing is a sweet aroma, pleasing to God.
Right.
So it, to me, it's just me. I don't care what somebody else is not doing in the household of faith. If I ask you, you know, can you help me with this? And you say no, you might be uncomfortable with something. So let me pray for you. Let me talk you through it. You know, if you want to do it, if you don't want to do it, fine. I know what I have to do.
Right.
And I know that I am just, I'm not just here to warm a seat.
Right.
Okay? I'm here to get fed. Because I'm hungry. Not physical hungry, which I am.
Spiritually.
But spiritually hungry.
You understand what you're saying.
You know, spiritually, I'm hungry.
Right.
And when I'm not here, whether I'm being lazy, which I try my best not to be lazy, not to come. Sometimes I feel bad because, you know, my heart condition. But I come anyway.
Yeah.
You know, only time I don't come is my body saying sick. Still, you know, but we have to do what we can do, you know, for someone. If it's visiting, and visiting does help a person.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
it does. You can call them all day long. If you do texting, you can text them all day long. But words in a text is nothing like words coming out of your mouth.
True.
Words and a text is nothing that, oh, I can send a little hug, but it's nothing like that real hug.
Right.
And, you know we can't really go see Sister Jean for say like we want to because she's so, you know, fragile. But, and I have to apologize to Brother Woolley because I didn't go to see him. I didn't call him as much as, and that's on me. You know, I do call, you know, some of the ones that are out, but I guess I could go visit them.
But that's the purpose of what this lesson, I'm hoping that what this lesson is going to do, is not to throw no blame on nobody, but to help us to be more aware of, okay, hey, yeah, maybe I could do that. Well, you thought of it, you had intentions of doing it, but now you might can pick up a little bit better technique of how you can do that, you know. Okay, well, maybe I do need to put a little rubber band around my, on around my wrist so I can snap it. What am I wearing as fun as you snap it? Oh, yeah, I suppose you make a call to call somebody, you know. But it's not to throw blame, but it's to help us to be better. Because God is meaning to give us more time to do things that He knows we're going to mess up at. You know, because if he wasn't, all of us would have been wiped out a long time ago. Chuck, you had a comment you wanted to make.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to share this with Kathy, but when I was in the room, no, not a secret, it's just an event that happened, she's not aware, is that the, when I was in the, I was in the doctor's room being evaluated. The nurse that was in there could hear the three ladies in the hallway just having a good time laughing, whooping, and hollering. And I think someone from the office went out into the hallway and said, what are you three, the Golden Girls? And so, again, and because they were having a good time. And like she said, because she got involved and she calmed people's nerves and stuff and got them relaxed. And then another nurse in there was hearing what was going on in the hallway. And she said, listen to that. She said, I love it. That's that's great. So, again, you just don't know the impact that you may have.
That's true.
You know, and so, again, like Sister Sister Charlotte there. God bless her and all of us, you know. A card, a phone, a letter, whatever we can do, what we should do.
That's true.
Because again, you know, the point being that once our love is fully cultivated toward Christ, that's who we're doing it for. Because remember in the scripture it says, when you do it for the least of these, you do it for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that should be the motivation. And again, it's not to be in, not for the group, not for the whatever. Again, we got to check our reasons. Why? What's the reason? Mm-hmm. What's the reasoning behind it? Mm-hmm. But why are you doing it? And so again, if it's not for good cause, and that's only the good cause is God's cause, you're doomed to failure or a hard road you're going to go.
Yeah. That's a good point you brought out to touch on that. One of the things I've heard people say about, I prayed to God for this and I prayed for that and I prayed and he doesn't answer my prayer. The first thing is, what is the purpose of your prayer? Why the real basis of what you're praying for? Were you really praying because you were asking God to do his will, or were you just praying to say, yeah, well, I prayed for you, or I prayed for this, and God didn't get it done. I've been praying for this, I've been praying for this new car, because this is the car I want. And I've been praying all night and day, every day, God, I just get that car. I could do so many things for you. Mm. And God gives you this car. But that's not the one I was praying for. You know, and yeah, that's all right, but that's, and then you don't even do the things that you were saying you would do if you got this car. Mm-hmm. But God gave you a car, everything that you need, that you could do with it, same thing you could do with this one. But this one, you know, this is what I want. Oh, it had this to it, it's got that in it, and I would look so good driving it, and I could do this for you, God, and I could catch so many people, and, you know, there's so many miles to the counter. But this one, you know, this one don't look all that good. This one is a little, kind of a little small, a little cramped up, and you know, I can't get as many people in, not thinking that you can make more trips, you know, but I can't get as many people in there. And you come up with excuses, and then that's why you just, you know, you don't even... Don't even use that car to do God's will, you know, because the purpose which we're praying for was not there, you know. But people don't realize that's not why God answered your prayer, because you didn't have good intentions in your heart to start with. And also, do we pray for what God's will is, or do we pray for what our will is? Because God is not going to bless us and grant our prayer if it's in opposition to what his will is. Mm-hmm. If it's not what he wants, oh no, you're not going to get that. You know, that's not what, it wasn't for you. He already knows what's good for you and what he has in store for you. And he wants you to do his will, but if you're not praying the prayer that's in accord with his will, then God says, no. But we say, he didn't answer my prayer. Oh, yeah, he said no. But that ain't what you want to hear. As somebody said, I ain't trying to hear that, see, you know. Yes.
I learned through when I started to keep a prayer journal.
Mm-hmm.
And then every so often I will go through it and whether it'll be praying for an individual person or for the church as a whole. But when you go through it, there's always an answer.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be the way you wanted it, but there's always an answer. And we have to remember, you know, I keep thinking of that song that goes, I thank God for unanswered prayers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because God is not going to give you something that's detrimental to you.
Right.
Okay? So whether you get what you ask for or not, it's still an answer to your prayer.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And another thing to keep in mind, too, is what are we here for? To serve.
Mm-hmm.
To serve others, not to serve ourselves.
Exactly.
What did Christ come here for? To serve. To seek and save the lost, but also for to serve, not to come here to be served, to put up on a pedestal, but to serve others.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He served us to the point of giving up his life.
All right.
You know, but I can't say it's enough because people sometimes want to use this as an excuse. Well, yeah, I'm human. I make mistakes. I'm going to make mistakes. You know, I can't be perfect. I can't be like God. That's what we strive for every day, to try to be like him. And yes, we're not going to be like him, not only on this earth, because nobody's perfect. But that's what we strive for. We try to do the right thing. And as long as you're striving, he will help you and move you in that direction. But if you are not striving for that, then you just standing here mocking time. You know, you're not making no progress. You're not going to the left or the right. You're standing one step. I mean, standing one spot. You're doing something, but what is it profiting?
But you're not getting nowhere.
Right. You're not doing nothing. You're definitely not doing God's work. But I also like the point that you brought out about you, the thought came to you to help or to speak to the lady that was beside you, because we never know how God can use us mm-hmm. if we leave ourselves open.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I learned during the time that I was in the convalescent hospital after I had my accident, the attitude that you have to have, and from seeing other people that come in there, I've seen people come in there, they'd be hurt, they'd be broke up, they come out of surgery. The people that are there giving you physical therapy, they are trying to do stuff to help you get better. Man, you're not going to come in there and if you broke your leg, they're in there to help you walk again. You're not going to just jump up and get up and start walking. But when they help you get up and teach you how to walk gradually, and maybe you can't start out putting all the weight on your leg, but you got to start using a little bit. Yes, it's going to hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And you holler, oh, I can't do it, it hurts. No, don't make me hurt. You're not helping yourself. But if you got the attitude and fight through it, yeah, okay, made 2 steps today. Tomorrow you come back, you might make 3.
Mm-hmm.
And your attitude is one of joyfulness, where you might can't make a joke, which you got a good trait for that. You might can't make a joke of everything, you know. And grant you hurting is you're not going to be making no wisecracks too much. You might make a few, but you're not going to make too many. But when people can see that you have a good attitude and a cheerful attitude of what you're trying to do, and then you're reaching out to help other people and try to boost their attitude, boost their morale, tell them you can go through it, you can do it, I get it, it's hard. You know, you're like the cheerleader on the sideline. You're encouraging them to keep on pushing, keep on trying. That's what we're supposed to do. But if you're sitting there, you're coming there, Don't tell me I got to get up there because I don't feel like it. I can't do it. The nurse tell you, okay, you got to stretch it. I can't do it. I ain't stretching my leg that day. And don't keep on pushing me. Don't keep on telling me. That's the wrong attitude. That's a nasty attitude. Who wants to help you? You know? But, I mean, it's not just their job. But what I'm saying is, when you have the attitude to try to reach out to other people, that cheerfulness will spread. Just like that kind of angry attitude will spread. It'll spread to push people away from you. But that cheerfulness will draw people to you. And that's also what we can do to try to help cheer people up. And it's not necessarily where you got to go to someone to do it, to visit them. In your situation, you was right there. And you realized it. Sometimes the situation may arise from wherever you be at. The capacity I'm in right now, meeting different people every day. Some people get in their van and they have a nasty attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Some people get in there and don't say anything. Some people get in there, they start a conversation. I'll go through it and I'll add to the conversation and we're talking before you know it. We're at our destination. And you know, if I can, I try to steer the conversation around to the Lord and find out sometimes I'm talking to somebody that is a Christian, sometimes I'm talking to somebody that's not a Christian, and sometimes I might get them and say, I never thought about it like that. That's a good sign, I think, if I get them to do that. But we'll never know if you allow yourself to let the Lord use you in whatever way he sees fit. One point that was brought up, that we're not doing this for ourselves.
Exactly.
We're not, but we can reap some of the benefits. In Matthew chapter 7 and starting at verse 12, we see the basis for the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. Now, is it not the very definition of selfishness to expect others to do for you what you won't do for them? That is the basis of selfishness. If we reach out and do what we can for others when we can, then we can hopefully expect someone to do the same for us when we find ourselves in that situation. My mom used to tell me when I was young, you do what you can while you can, then when you can't do it, you don't have no reason to feel bad. Mm-hmm. The older I get, the more I find it to be very true. But if you have an opportunity of doing and you don't and pass it up, then you'll feel some sort of way, as my daughter used to say, you feel some sort of way when you realize, I could have did that, I should have did that, but you didn't. I see people sometimes, and it's a sad thing, but you go to a funeral and you see people come in and they walk behind the casket and they're boohooing and crying and carrying on, which they feel sad, they feel in grief. But I wonder, there's a lot of that grief because they feel guilt. Mm-hmm. Because something that you could have did, or you should have did, or the way you should have treated this person when they were living, and you passed it by and didn't. Whether you had a grudge with them, whether you they did something that made you angry and you never got a chance to get it off your chest with them or try to settle it, or whether you was a family member and you took advantage of them. You know, for some reason, are you feeling guilty because you should have did something that you didn't? And now you are really, as the Bible says, lamenting, we said grieving. Are you really hurting because now this person is gone? And maybe you have a thought in the back of your mind, you're going to have to give an account for that one day. You know you should have did something better than you did, and you didn't do it. That's just a thought that comes in my mind sometimes when I see people, at a funeral that's really carrying on like that.
You know, Wesley, when Mike was going through all of his chemo and radiation, especially the radiation, people sitting down, they would, we would tell our stories to one another.
Mm-hmm.
And touching somebody's life like this. And I've seen it with my dad, with these cancer patients. They form, and their relatives, they form lasting relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Because of this. And they lift each other up. They count on each other, really. When you would walk in, you're already looking for the people that you would normally see. And even praying before you get there, I hope they're still there. I hope they still will show up. And I seen the positivity of touching people's lives like this in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
And, they would laugh and joke and forget for a minute of the battles that they really are in with the cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And I always wonder, why can't we do this on a daily basis when we encounter people? Why do we have to be in such dire situations before it seems so easy to reach out? You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying.
It seems on a daily basis it's so hard for us to do, but when you in a situation like this, it seems to be so much easier to touch one another's lives.
And
because people are more desperate.
I agree with the same. Yeah. And you don't see that need on an everyday basis. I see you're happy, you're all right. You know, you don't need anything. That's just your mindset. Yeah. For someone sitting there sick, you know they might die. Mm-hmm. How can I help this person?
Yeah.
You know, we know what we should be doing, but because everything is happy-go-lucky with you, I feel like you don't need anything. That's just the way we feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. Some people just happy, and you and they might need you. Mm-hmm. You know, they might be in a dying situation and don't know how to act.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think that's why, Judy, we don't do it on an everyday basis, because I see you and you're sick. I can see it in your face. Mm-hmm. I hear it in your voice. This person needs something.
Yes.
This person needs somebody.
But a lot of times, you know, what I'm saying on a daily basis, I think even within the body of Christ, sometimes we see a person is struggling, but we don't always go there and reach out to them right away. Oh. You know? This congregation here is really good about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been where people just walk right past somebody and you know, see there's something going on. When you know your people, you usually can tell by the way they act or by the way they, like Charlotte said, talk or you know, you can tell something's going on with them.
Okay.
So there's nothing wrong with going there and saying, are you feeling okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know.
I agree with you.
Is there anything I can do for you?
I got a comment too, but I want to hear what Kathy had to say first.
I just thought maybe this would help if we all get this reminder one more time. If it's the Lord's will, we'll live and do this or that, we might say. And you boast and brag about it all day, but boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows to do good and do it not, it is sin.
Yeah.
So we must get over that. Do it anyway.
Okay.
I'd be quiet.
Good. Well, again, like Charlotte pointed out, and it's very important to realize that when you know someone is needing something, it's because you have a relationship with them.
Mm-hmm.
You develop that so you can understand that, hey, something's not quite right. And mm-hmm. so that's a blessing. And again, as a family, we are, I think, in a real sense, more so obligated to say, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
You know. And again, we put up a facade far too many times. All of us do.
Oh, yeah.
We put up a facade, and we say we're okay, you know, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's unfortunate. Because again, there's not an opportunity to develop a meaningful relationship like we should have with everyone. You know?
But we don't want to go around grumpy faced all the time.
No, that's what I mean. We don't. And so, but if you need help, whatever that may be. But again, that's the opportunity we have to serve the Lord by helping you, whether it's just a prayer or just someone to vent.
Mm-hmm.
Some weeks, Kathy and I, we have this, I guess, on our forehead that God put on there. Tell us, and which is good. Which is great. It just took us a while to understand that. That's God using us in that way, not to judge or anything. Just if you need to vent, that's what we're here for.
Right.
Vent, or whatever. And so, but again, the point being is that yes, we should, especially within the brotherhood, especially in the congregation, should know each other well enough because we visit or seen them enough to know that there is something wrong or amiss or whatever,
a need.
But when it's a stranger, it's kind of hard in the same respect.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I think that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. If we may avail ourselves to the Holy Spirit in our prayer, saying, dear Lord, use me and open my eyes. Because again, like the scriptures say, we do entertain angels unaware.
Would you want to say something?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay. I agree with all of your comments. And yeah, I think it's good. From another point of view, that I was my comment about what you were saying, was that we as a people, especially in today's society, we don't want to open ourselves up to other people because it's a twofold situation. You got to open yourself up in order to get close to somebody to find out if some, you know, what's going on with them, which, you know, you don't want to tell too much. You don't want to get too close. You don't want people, as I said, in your business. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and other people feel the same way that, you know, I'm not going to go around telling everybody what my business is, you know, or what I'm going through because I don't need everybody to know what's happening. But how else can people help you or comfort you if they don't know? And as you say, if you know them that well, or if you're that close enough to them, you should be able to see that you got a lot of problems, there's something going on, you're going to have time to help you with, you need to talk, you know, anything. But by the same token, too, we don't want to wear our feelings on our sleeve to let everybody know that I'm hurting. You know, if your foot hurting, you're going to still try to walk that you feeling good, even if you're not coming in. Yeah, that wasn't an act. My knee really gave up.
Look good. Uh-oh.
But, you know, you're not going to come in limping because you want to try to walk that you're doing good.
Yeah.
Because, number one, you don't want everybody running to you. You okay? You hurt your leg? Well, you see, I'm limping, don't you? You know, but you don't want every, you know, person behind person keep coming, you all right, you all right, you all right. So you're trying to put up the facade that, you know, I'm okay, you know, I'm doing good. But somebody that knows you will know that there's something wrong with you. One other point, and we're really out of time, but I wanted to get to one more point before we close this out. And this is what you had touched on it with the family. Your closest friends, are your near relatives, and of course you've got your immediate family. Mm-hmm. But in 1 Timothy 5 and 4, and it tells us that we are showing signs of familial love when we reach out to people that are in our family. If you can't reach out to your own family, how are you going to show love to somebody else? You know, and for some reason, as I said before, other people in the family, for whatever reason may be, they can't. You know, they have built up a wall where they're not going to ever tear it down, and they'll go through life. Whatever the good is or whatever the feeling is, they won't squash it because that's just the way they feel. But if you can't show love to your family, whether it's your close family, your immediate family, or your friends, which would be considered your near relatives, then you can't show love to somebody else that you don't know. As I can't think of what the Bible verse is, but it's something to the effect that if you don't love your brother that you see every day, how you gonna love me that you've never seen? Mm-hmm. You know. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we're out of time, and I thank you all for your comments,
thank you.
This will encourage us and help us to live each day a little bit better and a little closer.